ball's going to be gone off the foul pole. A lengthy battle between Cozart and Dozier, and Dozier just got a tomahawking one off the foul pole and left. His first homer this spring, second RBI. Leadoff shot for Dozier, 1-0 Twins.
I mean, son of a... That's what you want right there. I mean, you want yourself some damn ball players who walk out there, pick up a damn ball bat and do some damage.
Right off the bat, the first.
Just tomahawk the hell out of one.
Of the game.
Go ahead and just jump out there and slap one over the fence and say, how about that?
Twins are up 7-6, by the way. I was watching a bit of the game on Fox Sports North. Fun to see the sunshine. I mean, now that it's basically tropical here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but
it's
nice to watch that and seeing people. And by the way, have you driven? I mean, I know you don't necessarily agree with my Googling at girls, but around the University of Minnesota.
Listen, that's okay. It's all good.
They think it's spring break. They think we're in Mexico, by the way they're dressing these days.
Well, you know what?
And I love them.
God bless them and good for you, right?
I love them so much.
Go ahead and get yourself some sunshine. And don't make sure all your body parts get some sunshine.
Twins ended up winning 7-6 today down in Fort Myers. But at the same time, Phil Hughes got rocked in the second inning. We'll talk to Al Newman coming up later on at 4:15 in about half an hour or so.
If he didn't golf.
He was at the he didn't golf today. He was at the game today, but he was a little snippy with me. He texted me at 3:15 and said,
hey.
I thought we were supposed to be doing a phone call here. I said, 4:15. Central time, my man. He goes, you should have said that. I'm so sorry, Al Newman.
Coach.
Listen, please forgive me. He said, yeah,
look,
no, it's
look
fine.
Look down at your watch. What's it always been? Central Standard Time. Mm-hmm. Where are you at again, Coach? Oh, Florida?
Yeah, hi.
I'll make the adjustment.
You want to play radio roulette?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
All right.
Yeah, you want to? I mean, is it dangerous?
No.
Okay.
Hi, 105 The Ticket. Who's this? Oh, he's gone. He or she's gone. Sorry. Just going to pull up
a... Son of a gun.
Because 41, guy we call 41, is not here. He's supposed to be here now answering the phone calls for us. For some reason, I don't know if he's...
You know, it's kind of funny how things work. It's what bathtub break, did you say?
I said bathroom break.
At least,
maybe he is.
Is he in the tub?
Maybe he is.
In the tub. Who knows, man? He's trying to...
He's got a long day, though. He did the Big Ten tournament game.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a lot for 41.
Just Iowa and Penn State, we just played it.
That guy is 41.
Yeah, there's another 6 o'clock game. We're playing high school basketball, by the way, tonight with Wally Langfellow. High school basketball tournament.
I can't play.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Okay.
I'm in.
Radio roulette again. Here we go.
Oh, here we go. Let's try it.
Hi, 105 The Ticket. Who's this?
This is Bernie.
Bernie.
Hey, are the Vikings looking at this Michael Johnson that got cut from Tampa Bay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. He's in there.
Is he going to be playing in on the... Are they looking at him at the left defensive end or right defensive end?
Well, I think probably... I'm going to say left.
Well, I'm going to say rotational is the... I would say, but at the same time, if I was Brian Robinson, I'd be a little bit worried.
Oh, well, I would be too. I really would. I mean, I think he's going to be playing on that left side more... Well, I don't even know if he's going to be signed. Let's put it that way. I know he's visiting. He hasn't been signed yet.
But taking his first free agent visit here with the Minnesota Vikings, he was in the crosshairs last year. He played for Mike Zimmer in Cincinnati. Loves Mike Zimmer. At the same time, we're up against the Cincinnati Bengals where he played before.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the Atlanta Falcons, because he's from the Atlanta area, finishing his college degree in Georgia Tech as we speak.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Now, are they the Yellow Jackets or the Rambling Wreck?
Anyone that can help? Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
Yellow Jackets.
They're both.
Bless you.
They're both. Hey. I would say to answer your question though, Bernie, it's probably if he signs here, it could be a little bit anything on both sides. But I think Griffin, they're going to cut him free and keep him out on that field as long as he can.
Okay, and then are they? Was he injured? Is that why he left Tampa? Or
no, he just didn't.
I know.
He didn't fit the scheme that Leslie Frazier. What is it called? It's a wide nine is where he was playing.
Nine technique.
That doesn't necessarily fit what the kind of technique where he strives in and where he succeeded with Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, obviously, we run the same defense.
Play
that
him
they were
tighter. You don't
want
to have him on the outside shoulder. You want to have him more head up or inside shoulder.
Okay. And then, do you think the Vikings are going to take a linebacker in the second round?
Well, you never know. You don't know. If someone falls in their lap, they're going to take the best athlete available. I don't care. That's how you have to do it in this day and age. Because if you don't, you get yourself shot in the foot. What's that?
Sorry, Bernie, go ahead.
do you see him moving back up in the first if they keep taking extra first-round picks? Or
I think they move back.
Maybe so. I don't know.
I can see him move back and then move back up again, get a couple of first-round draft picks. We know that that's what Rick Spielman likes to do. The general, he loves
it. He jockeys around a little bit. He likes to jockey around for positioning and getting someone for that is a great value at a lower value. That's what he's good at, is finding a steal and jockeying in position, knowing what he knows about the teams that are in front of him or behind him and what their needs are. He will play up and back based on what he knows and try and steal someone away from another person that wants him.
And that's why I love Rick Spielman so much. Hated him. That last year, Leslie Frazier with the Christian Ponder and Josh Freeman bit. Wanted him gone. Now I love
that
me some
bad.
Dick Springfield.
Dick does a nice job.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He ain't bad.
Radio Roulette. Bernie, any more questions? You've asked probably four already, but that's fine.
No, I'm good. That's
it?
Thanks very much.
Any questions about Adrian Peterson?
No, not a fan.
Any questions about me?
Well, you're the superstar. We all know all that.
Thank you for going along with my bit.
Thanks, Bernie. Call in anytime, my man.
Thank you for going along with it. See, people help me out.
You need all the help you can.
Well, I call myself the superstar, and now finally they're just giving into it. they're like, yeah, you're the superstar. Okay, you can be that today again. So anyway, this is getting kind of exciting around here, though. What about DeMarco Murray?
DeMarco Murray going to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Take your track shoes.
Was it 5 years, $42 million?
Yes. That's exactly it. That's what Bleacher Report has.
Yeah, Bleacher Report love him. Originally, the Dallas Cowboys had offered him just a slap in the face. 4 years, $16 million. I'd tell Dallas to go take a giant leap as well.
How about that?
But supposedly, it was the Oakland Raiders, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Dallas Cowboys all vying for his services.
So, he's landed. How much longer, the question, how much longer before Adrian, with the market being set, with the league's top rusher, mm-hmm. in terms of yardage at least, being set and a contract in place,
yeah.
How much longer for our very own Adrian Peterson? Not much longer, I don't think.
Well, I think that, and I'll continue to...
To be a little Tampa Bay.
I still think Adrian Peterson's going to be with the Minnesota Vikings because I don't think that there's going to be anything that the Vikings can get from any of these teams.
You don't think so?
Unless now that things are breaking loose. As I woke up this morning, there was a Tampa Bay fan site that had said that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the front office, is having internal meetings. I think you saw the same thing,
that
they're going to make an aggressive bid for Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. Now that the Cowboys had lost out on DeMarco Murray bringing back their running back, the leading rusher in the NFL last season, maybe
dumb.
They're going to get desperate.
Really dumb.
However, I'm seeing this, that Adrian Peterson, the latest news, rumors, and speculations about the Vikings running back, will have another meeting. Vikings have stated they want Peterson to return. He is blah, blah, blah.
Do we know
blah,
if it's coach or first class, the trip out there?
I don't know.
That'll tell you a lot.
Yeah.
That's what we've been going on. We've been going on coach or first class.
AP's father, Nelson.
Oh, here Peterson, we go. Nelson again.
Another meeting with the Vikings is scheduled for later this week.
Wait. Nelson said this?
Yeah.
Oh, so his dad's back in the act.
His dad.
Who's representing him?
I don't know.
His dad? Adrian, once again. Okay. Tell your dad not to help.
To shut his fat yapper.
And after you're done telling your dad not to say anything, you don't say anything either.
Well, it's our guy Chris Thomason from the St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com.
So he's calling his dad.
That continues to call his dad. He told the Pioneer Press today, Nelson Peterson did, saying, quote, Adrian Peterson's father said today nothing was resolved in a meeting Monday with the Vikings owners.
Wow.
And that the running back will have another discussion with team officials about his future by the end of the week.
Get him, Chris.
Nelson Peterson told the Pioneer Press they will meet again. I'm not going to say who's going to be at the meeting. I can't comment on that.
No, God, no.
When asked if it would take place, where it would take place, Nelson Peterson only would say by the end of the week. Peterson's father said he hasn't asked for a trade and that all the talk he could end up in Dallas are just rumors.
Oh. Well, thank you, Nelson.
Nelson.
Now, what if he'd said, well, I can tell you this. He's got a first-round ticket that Ziggy bought him. He's heading out. That's what Nelson's been doing lately.
Chris Thomason's smart to call Nelson because nobody else is talking, but Nelson...
Apparently he has a relationship with his father established.
He gets a phone call, Nelson does. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll
Chris,
chirp.
I'm going to tell you what. I don't think Adrian's got much of a handshake at all.
Here's the thing about flying first class, and Adrian Peterson, when he flew to New York to Manhattan to meet with the Wilfs and Rick Spielman on Monday, sack coach.
How do you know all this?
Because there were
How
pictures.
How do you know? Was there?
There were pictures. Just,
what if the Wilfs and Dick Spielberg and
Rick Springsteen? You mean?
And Landis. What if they were Landis. All? What if he was there?
Who's Landis?
He's part of the Wilf ownership group.
Oh,
I don't know if you know this or not.
I thought Landis was the guy that took over for Lance Armstrong when he was not doing the Tour de France. There was a guy named Landis that did the same thing, and he was busted for steroids.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Something completely different.
Way different. But anyway, so Nelson is telling us.
Mm. Nelson.
Nelson Peterson.
Yeah.
He's telling us that it'll be by the end of the week. What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
That's
the end of the, or Friday. Tomorrow's the end of the week. I'm sorry. I had a meeting with Inside Brewery just down the street over here. One of my favorite breweries.
Really?
And they're like, hey, you should probably try all these beers if you're going to endorse us. And I've been there several times. It's just on the street from my house. I live close to the radio station.
Okay. Yeah.
And
now,
so
how many do you think you probably had?
Well, a couple, 30, 40. No. Love that guy, by the way. But no.
Me too.
No, just six little samplers.
Six.
Little sample.
That's a good number.
Little
sample. The way you sample the North Lakes Honey Brown Lager.
Well, I don't sample North Lakes Honey Brown Lager.
No.
I pound North Lakes Honey Brown Lager. That's
say.
The goods.
Yeah.
That's okay. The goods if you're talking
yeah,
beer.
I agree.
But they had these new flavors and these things that I hadn't tried, and so I wanted to appease them.
Some
I mean,
seasonal craft
they invited
beers.
Me over, and they, you know, I'm not going to say no, I'm not going to try your beer. Are you kidding me? I had to try it all.
Yeah, you have to give it a shot.
You know, speaking of,
I don't want you to have shots with the beers.
No,
you'd be all smashed. And
no hard liquor, just a couple of good old fashioned beers. But did you know we're talking about flying, and Adrian Peterson had to fly coach to the meeting to go meet the Wilfs and Rick Spielman.
Yes,
I don't know if
yes.
he bought the ticket or the
I think
Wilfs
he must have because Ziggy's got a really nice aeroplane.
Yeah,
you would have sent the jet.
If someone dies during a flight on British Airways,
yeah.
Did you know they put the body in first class? If well, I'm buying
I
a
heard
first
they dump
class,
it. I heard they dump it.
If I'm buying a first class ticket and somebody dies in the back, I'd like them to stay in the back. I don't want them to be moved up. I mean, you get the free drinks. You have to wear khakis in first class.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, now here's this dead guy or woman with rigor mortis sitting in. And probably have urinated themselves because that's what happens when you die. You let go of your muscles.
I got to think, though, that when you land, when you finally do hit the ground, that you want to open the hatch and get that thing out of there real quick, like first one out.
Yeah.
Like someone roll that thing out of here first. I don't think you want to keep it on the back of the plane and let her smell the place up a little bit while the plane's on the ground.
It's not gonna. Well, yeah.
And let everyone check out the dead body. At least you can draw the curtains. And where do you put that? I mean, everyone's say it's a full flight and say everything.
Bathroom.
Huh?
Put them in the bathroom or her in the bathroom or back where the stewardess are. I mean, put the body out of sight.
Jeez.
Not up in first class. Everybody has to walk by first class.
Well,
when
someone
they leave
has
the
to get bumped out of their seat if it's a full flight. Can you excuse us? We would like to ask you if you could, spare us your seat because we're going to park a dead corpse in there. Would you mind? We're just asking.
Wanted to play radio roulette again, but 41 over there just stole the phone call.
Tell him not to do that anymore. We got a game going on over here. Just tell him what he does. Tell him to do what he normally does. Ignore the phones. Tell him to do. Tell 41. Is he really 41?
Yeah.
Tell him, look, just keep up what you normally do and ignore the phones and what you're supposed to do.
Just hung up on him.
Okay.
Damn it. Radio roulette is one of the funnest games. We're going to come back. We have to take a break. We'll talk about the Minnesota Gopher basketball game last night. They beat Rutgers. They play again tonight.
We had 12.
You and I had a little dust up with Amelia Reno yesterday when we said should
Richard
Pitino be on the hot seat. By the way that the Gophers have played this year.
She had her feathers ruffled a little
bit. Yeah, she wasn't happy about that.
Well,
but
I
learned something. I talked to sources. I watched the game with people that cover. That are very into it with the Minnesota Gopher men's basketball team. Not Amelia and not anybody that works here necessarily because they're all in Chicago. But somebody else that covers the team.
Mm.
Juicy, juicy rumors.
Oh.
You wouldn't believe what they were saying.
Found a nugget. A golden nugget. Are you willing to share?
I'm going to share it, yeah.
Oh,
they told
me
not to say anything. I'm going to, next, when we come back.
They told you not to say anything?
Well, they said if you're going to say something on the radio about it,
don't
please just don't say that it was me that said it.
You're going to tell me during the break, though, right?
No, I'm going to tell people on the radio. You have to wait until we come back.
I mean the name.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll tell you the name. juicy details about our Minnesota Gopher men basketball team when we come back right here
on,
I don't know.
I think it's Radioactive Sports. Let's come back.
Okay. The only...
I'm not in the bathroom. That's the Gopher season going down the drains.
Oh, that's too bad. Now, you know, we spoke for a while yesterday with Amelia Reno.
You got on her bad side a little bit.
I mean, I just asked questions. I was asking, I think, perfectly legit and fair questions of her.
Something that you and I have been talking about a lot, where why isn't Richard Pitino on the hot seat at some point? Why is everybody treating him with kid gloves?
He got what he got last year, and he got a lot out of the troops last year by at least getting to the NIT and winning the whole darn thing. So you're thinking, well, with four returning seniors, that you're going to come in this year, maybe add a piece or two to the puzzle of the younger classmen, which they did with Nate Mason. And you go on and you would probably think that, well, okay, at least this time around, with that kind of success that he had last year, pretty good coach, ought to get into the tournament. No trouble, slam dunk, not so much the case. They stumbled all over themselves this time around, and quite frankly, they're still in the Big Ten tournament and whatnot, and so they still have a chance.
They have to win four more anyway.
Yeah, until they run into the Ohio State. But it kind of ruffled her a little bit. And my question to you is, was that an off-base question? Was that an unfair question?
No, it wasn't at all. Absolutely not. You and I have been talking about the fact is why, like I just said a couple minutes ago, why isn't Richard Pitino on the hot seat when it comes to the media around here? Amelia Reno, the beat writer for the Gopher men's basketball
team. She's good at what she does.
The Star Tribune. Love having her on. She's absolutely amazing. Not taking any shots at her whatsoever because she knows her stuff. But the people that surround themselves with the Gopher men's basketball team love those people as people, not as players, whereas you and I take a step back and we look at the team as fans or people that know basketball and saying, well, wait a second here.
Objectively.
They need this, they need that. We don't have these personal lovey-dovey relationships
attachment
like some of these other home or radio people or newspaper people have. Not saying Amelia Reno has that by any means.
No, I don't think she does.
But they want to protect the people that they cover, which to me is collusion a little bit. It's crossing the line. It's the integrity of them writing their story or getting on the radio, whether it be if you're too chummy with the Minnesota Vikings or certain players there, or think you're more chummy with certain teams than you actually are. To me, your credibility is just blown out the window. But what I heard last night as I was watching the game, the Gopher men's basketball game.
Okay. You heard this on TV?
No. I heard this from a great source.
Oh.
From a source that that knows what they're talking about, but ask me not to say their name. I won't even tell you if it's a man or a woman.
That's fair.
That the team has been so disappointing this year.
It has. Not that they still can't get in. They could. They have to run four more.
Four in a row in four more days.
Yeah.
Five games, 5 days. Last night they beat Rutgers, who's miserable. They almost lost to him at some point. But it was much closer than it should have been. Tonight they have to play the Ohio State in Chicago. I believe they took Ohio State to overtime and lost by two. So is it possible? Sure.
That.
Is it probable? Probably not. But what I heard from a very reputable source about the Minnesota Gopher men's basketball team is that the players turned their back on Coach Richard Pitino this year.
And by turn their back, you mean, or whoever told you this, turn their back to what he wants done, how he wants things done. They pulled a mutiny and said, we're doing it our way. We're going to do it our way.
There's a mutiny in the Golden Gopher men's basketball team's locker room.
A coup d'etat, if you will.
They didn't kill Richard Pitino, thank God.
Yeah.
But in my guess, reading between the lines and asking some questions, and there are obviously some things that they asked me not to say on the radio. They asked me not to say that as well. But they also said, if you're going to say it, because it's a great talker, please don't say my name. And so, so the Minnesota Gopher men's basketball team, I would have to say it would particularly be the seniors. Because as you see more and more, at some point in the middle of the season, the seniors weren't getting it done as it was anyway. But you saw Richard Pitino go, okay, you're going to do your thing out there. You're not going to play my game. You aren't the guys that I recruited. Tubby Smith recruited you guys in. And you think that I'm too verbose. I yell too much. My practices are too hard. I want too much out of you guys. And you don't want to participate in this deal. You're going to be out here soon anyway. I'm going to stay here. I'm the one with the contract making the big money. I've got these young kids coming in. with promise. Dorsey, that four-star recruit, the guard
new coming, kid coming in.
Going to be amazing. Of course, we talk about Bakari Konaté, Gaston Giaggio, Nate Mason.
Reno said it's one of the best recruiting classes scheduled to come in years. Years, decades.
But at the same time, she also said if you expect next year to be better, then
you say two more.
Kind of going down the wrong track there a little bit. But at the same time, so seniors last night, Mo Walker, we talk about him almost every game.
Almost, yeah.
Going, what is going on with this guy? He's got the skills. He's got the size. He can do this. When he has a good game, the Gophers usually win, but he's never really.
But he's not that. That's not his MO.
He's not mentally in the games. He's not emotionally up for the games.
Or he doesn't appear to be.
Well, Richard Pitino had said before, he's like, it's almost like I have to smack him in the face to get him up for the games before these games.
Yeah.
You're playing in the Big Ten, and you can dominate. At the same time, he was a bigger kid. He lost all this weight, and it to me seems like he overworks, meaning he's almost clumsy.
He still weighs, what, about 280?
He's still big, but he's tall. And then for the disgrace of Andre Hollins, what's happened to this kid? 0 points last night?
I can't believe
you're
it.
You're in the Big Ten tournament. You're a senior. These can't are the last it. Games you could possibly be playing
that
in college basketball.
That could have been his last night. Last night. Could have been his last night ever.
0 for 5, 0 points.
How would you like to report that as your last basketball game?
What a disgrace. In my opinion, this says nothing from anybody else, just me talking to you and to the people listening. What a disgrace these seniors have been this year.
Well, they have been.
Oh,
I mean, we expected something really pretty cool going down this year after that NIT thing, maybe a little more exposure to the recruiting ranks and something good there. And then another year with Coach Pitino, that's all good. He can add to what he's been doing and how he's changed this culture and getting it more in his direction. But no. I mean, they just fell flat on their face, and we've been talking about it endlessly here on this show, and it's just not there. The magic is not there. They don't have any swagger. They don't. They just don't. I mean, there's no pep in their step. Mo Walker leading the way with that go-to-sleep attitude. I don't know. But trust me, I can't believe a bunch of college kids would decide we're going to do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you come over and sit on the bench then, which he did do a couple times.
Yep.
Joey King.
And it would make, I mean, just now hearing that information that the Gopher men's basketball players at some point turned their back on Coach Richard Pitino during the season.
How long? For the rest of the season?
I don't know.
Or turn their back
for
a game or two?
I'm not sure about the exact timeline here, but if you go back and with that knowledge and you go back and look and say, DeAndre Matthew was sat down for quite some time.
He was pathetic, though. He was pathetic.
But so have all the other seniors. I mean, Elliot Eliason sat down because he's been pathetic. Andre Hollins had 0 points last night, the opening of the Big Ten tournament. He's been pathetic. Oftentimes, he's the leading scorer of the team, though. So, I mean, sometimes Andre Hollins is scoring 31 points, and the next night he scores 5. Then you've got Mo Walker, incredible. Who we've talked about a billion times. Kendall Schell, who's the guy that started senior night. Over some of these other kids, which I think also takes a shot at some of those kids that quote-unquote turned their back on the coach. And so you can kind of see if you're reading between the lines and looking back, because obviously hindsight's 20/20.
I agree. I think that when you look at this objectively, there was a turning point. After they found that they weren't going to get it done, apparently, right off the get-go in the Big Ten, when they hit their Big Ten stride and started playing those games. It wasn't going well. We wondered when they would finally win their first Big Ten game. It did come against, I believe, Rutgers. And we thought, okay, maybe if they get they get one under their belt and in their system, they'll know how how to go about business. That was not the case. I mean, I don't remember one really impressive game. Do you remember an impressive victory?
Michigan State. In East Lansing was quite the shocker a couple weeks ago.
That's true.
Other than that, I mean, I want to say this year we were 4-8 with games decided by 6 points or fewer. And so this team, really, honest to God, with all the troubles that they've had and the poor, miserable season that really it's come down to, they still had a winning season overall, not in the Big Ten. But they could have been so much better, but they just didn't have that firepower in their belly that we always talk about, where ball players go out there and leave their blood and guts on the court or the field or the ice or whatever.
You find a way. I mean,
they didn't do it.
Some teams find ways to lose games. I think that was us.
You know my favorite part of the game last
night? Free throws. We had one of the cold Omaha reporters in that talked about the free throws.
I mean, rebounds, defense.
Free throws just at the line. I mean, they just were dismal at the line. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
My favorite thing about the game last night had nothing to do with the Gopher men's basketball team.
Must have been the wings.
Well, that too.
And?
Rick Pitino was there. I love it when Daddy Pitino shows up. Don't you? I mean,
it's pretty cool to see him show, when he shows up. And
show him in the crowd more than they show the actual basketball game.
Of course.
I love it.
Of course.
It.
But anyway, Dad's in the crowd. Give me a better signal, Dad. I couldn't read what you were trying to get me to do there. But give me a better signal. You know what we're gonna do?
Let me guess. No, I have no idea.
We're gonna take a break.
Oh,
that's right. When we come back, we're gonna have the good coach from a training camp down in Florida. Al Newman joins us again. One of our favorite guys. He's going to join us again. We're going to talk a little about the way things are going and how it is progressing, if it's progressing.
Phil Hughes got rocked today.
He got rocked.
I'm excited to talk to him. I ask him questions about that.
But Dozier had a nice little gomer.
Your guy, Aaron Hicks?
Aaron Hicks.
Had a decent game.
I told you, didn't I?
Yeah. Now you probably don't feel as bad that I called you the Aaron Hicks.
You can call me
radio.
That now because he's a superstar. Because he's a superstar. He knows what it's like to be me.
It's going
to
be beneficial to all the young guys, especially a guy like me, a veteran guy. He still has a lot of information in their head of his, so I'm willing to learn it.
Everything's going great, and definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Play a little game right now.
Okay.
Which one of those voices was Joe Mauer?
Probably the one that sounds like rigor mortis is setting in. That one?
That is correct. That is correct.
What do
the
I win?
Second voice.
I mean, isn't it funny?
Like a box of donuts.
Great. That's just what I need.
Yeah.
You hear Tory Hunter going, he's got a head full of knowledge. I can't wait to...
I like it here.
This is good. The sun is shining. And I don't know. I feel like...
Oh, well.
Should we ask our guest?
Maybe we should ask him.
Too hard on
Joe
Mauer.
I think maybe that'd be a better guy to ask. I think maybe we are a little bit too critical. And we have Coach Al Newman standing by, so why not just ask him? Coach Newman, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm on my way to St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm fighting with the Belanger family. We're cruising up 75.
Wow. And so you go across the big, long bridge to get out there?
I'm already nervous, yes. We've got to go over the bridge. We've discussed our tactics on how we're going to handle it. And, the kingpin here, the driver, Bill, he's in charge. He's got it taken care of.
Just make sure you have your seatbelt on because I've heard things about that driver.
Yeah, right.
And your floaties.
It's nice down here, though, fellas. The boys, they look good today.
Yeah. Oh, well, they do? Or they did? Yeah, of course they did.
At points, they look good, though, Al Newman. I mean, to start off the game, Brian Dozier with that giant home run down left field was fantastic. But, Phil Hughes, a couple of hiccups in the second inning there.
Well, that was a win-aided home run. Just, Brian's was too. It was right down the line.
Yep.
And the one hit out there off the Hughes, it was a break. I think it was a hanging pitcher. It was up in the zone.
Yep.
And he got it up in that win. Now, a home run is a home run. See, as though I only hit one, I would have counted it. So it counts.
Exactly. Now, tell that bussy to slow down. I want you to settle down, and I want you to be able to talk right and everything else. Tell him to just slow things down, Coach Newman.
Yes,
Molly, does Coach Molitor, I'm still a football player, does the manager, does he have a good feel for what's going on right now? Does he have any feedback for you guys on how things are going, or just a report back from Coach Molitor?
Well, I think that what I've watched on the practice field, it looks like Molly is an observer, as he should be, and his coaching staff is taking care of, the pitcher's PFP, and then when the game squad comes out at 10:30, he's over on that field. It's a totally different atmosphere, but, I think a lot of the fundamentals are being taught, and they even work on a play that I'm going to implement with my college team this summer, and I got to keep it a surprise because it was on the backfield.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to let anybody know that.
Wow, we're talking I like that.
Two-time...
I'm not going to give a scouting report on our own team.
That a guy. Two-time world champion with the Minnesota Twins, Al Newman. One of my all-time favorite Minnesota Twins, by the way. Just love you. And I don't just say that because you're on the radio. I, honest to God,
had my
mouth on the ground when I saw you walk into our studio here about a month ago. But you've been down in Florida watching the Twins for almost a week now. And as of the other day, Aaron Hicks was pulled from the game for making base running errors. Two times in consecutive games, consecutive days. You've been around the team now. What does that mean? Is Aaron Hicks stunted in his growth? Does he just not pay attention? Is he an airhead? How did manager Paul Molitor respond to that, because I know he yanked him from the game. He wasn't very happy. How's that situation? I know Aaron Hicks was back in the game today.
Well, you know, I over the last couple of years, I've just handled it. I don't think he can handle the pressure. In my mind, I've come to the conclusion that he's fidgety. I'm not going to question his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the quickness of the game, I don't think he's much of a student of the game, and his mind is always somewhere else.
You know what? There are players like that. They away from the practice field, and things are pretty slow and doable in practice, and the pressure really isn't there. But you put them in a game situation, and everything is scattered in their head, and they freeze, and things start to happen that would never happen to them in practice, where they impress coaches. Now you get into a game and you can't trust him in a game.
Superstar, here's one little bit. You know how people say, well, he's not a practice player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a performer in the game. Well, you know, right now your question is work ethic. And then when he gets in the game, obviously it's too fast for him.
Yes.
And sometimes you just have to accept the fact that it's not the kid doesn't want it. It's just maybe he's just not capable of sustaining any type of concentration that would help him be successful.
And that's it, too. That is most of it. Is the guys that you want on your team and in the lineup every day are the guys that can grind, and the guys that can play hurt, the guys that can play certainly with the pressure added because it's a professional game. Those are the people you have to be able to find. And then I guess, Al, the only other thing, the exception is there are those players that dog a little bit in practice, but you put them in a game and they go ballistic. They're everywhere. They do everything and more, and you're like, where did this come from? I mean, there have been those kind of guys too, but you can only trust what they do in practice.
Yes, that is true. And, you know, as a scout of the major leagues and minor league teams, you know, you want to give a kid the benefit of the doubt. You really do. And, you know, you'll say that in your report. He's not much of a practice player. It's not so much a knock. It's just that you have to be aware of what he's doing at all times. And unfortunately, you know, there's some guys that want to pass him up. I got to see that pretty one, Mr. Buxton, there at the end of the game. And once again, unbelievable runner. Nice body. He seems very stable, you know what I mean? He looks like he belongs.
Yeah, for sure.
And all those are attributes that, you know, you can't prepare a kid for that. He either accepts it and dwells, or you have a Mr. Hicks.
Yeah, no, I love Buxton, and even Sano took a walk today as I was watching the game too. Watching those young guys that just have it. One of those things where you're talking about it, Al, where you can't teach what those guys have, and so I'm of the ilk that I don't want those guys to come up right away because it's a long season, their first season in Major League Baseball. I want them to succeed and come up maybe halfway through, and kind of the way Danny Santana and Kenny Vargas did last year, and just set them up for success. But Al, we're talking to Al Newman, former Minnesota Twin, two-time World Series champion with the Twins. I know you're not a pitcher, but closer Glenn Perkins has kind of been a story up here this week. He's scheduled to play catch off flat ground on Friday. He hasn't been throwing. He battled a strained right oblique. Hasn't worked in a game since March 4th and had a bullpen session halted on Monday because of the discomfort on his side. How's he progressing down there? And what is the, I know, like I said, I know you're not a pitcher, but how important is that injury, or could that affect him throughout
the season? I'm not lessening his role. Sure, you want to get out to a fast start and you'd like to have that closer, there ready. But he threw the other day. He's getting better. I overheard people saying, not going to name names because I don't want to make anybody accountable, but I did hear that he was pretty through and he felt pretty good. And early in the season, they're going to go into cold weather, man. So you may as well make sure that injury's totally healed And as a closer, he doesn't need to throw a whole bunch of innings. He can get his work done in the minor league, on the minor league side, or just throwing bullpens.
Al Newman, I have to ask you. It's always been a question for me as to how and when the timing is right to bring up a kid like Buxton or Sano. If they've got it, they've got it, don't they? I mean, for the game of baseball,
if they're doing well that first month, Mike, I wouldn't hesitate if Plouffe was struggling, something like that. I would not hesitate. If you're having trouble covering that gap out in center field, I would not hesitate.
Right.
I don't think it's going to take much for Terry Ryan to decide, hey, look, I want some guys up here that we're counting on and they're about ready. Let's give them a chance.
That was where I was going with that question too. Baseball is baseball, and if they've been tested for the pressure part of it, and we've talked about that today already regarding Hicks, is that if Buxton and Sano can handle it and can deal with it, and every time they're seen down there doing something positive, is that they must be able to deal with the pressure and everything else that the game brings to it. Yeah, we want to see those. We want to see those guys up here sooner than later to make a difference. So
you know what, guys? Can I give a shout out?
Please
for
do.
Birthday?
Sure.
Happy birthday to Jessica Peterson.
Jessica
good,
Peterson.
Good, nice person. Red hair, so it's all good.
Very good.
You know what I'm saying? Happy birthday, Jessica Peterson.
Jessica Peterson, hey, happy birthday to you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, fantastic. Glad we could do that for you.
She sounds pretty.
Coach,
well, thank you.
Coach Newman. Al Newman with the Minnesota Twins down there with the Twins and giving us a report back from time to time. We love having you on, Coach Newman.
Yes, sir.
Have a good travel. Thank Have a safe travel. Tell that bus you to settle down.
Anytime.
Okay, thank
Take
you.
Take care.
Let's come on back. We're going to talk the NFL free agent. Oh, no, 4.5 questions. Where am I right now?
Aaron Hicks basketball things got radio again.
Shut your mouth. 4.5 questions. That stupid-ass game you came up with. I love it, by the way.
Thank you.
4.5 questions. I love it because you ask me questions, and I go on endlessly.
I know. You talk so often.
I keep talking and keep talking and talking, and then ask me another question. I keep talking. It just pisses you off. It's your own demise, too. Your own invention that happens. We're going to do 4.5 questions next.
From we got 52 points off our bench. So I mean, that's a positive. We like I said, we had a bad game. It was a tie game with 1:06 to go in the second quarter. And we kind of get away right there.
You can't let it get away from you.
What would you do with your brain if you had one?
I'd take it out and play with it.
Playoffs?
I play with it. Playoffs. Coach Mora. Dump Dora.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You know what, though? It feels good to be a punk loser. And now I bring to, hey, listen, back in your corner. I'll be back in 10, 15 minutes. Just hang on. I'll be right back. We have 4.5 questions coming up right now on Radioactive Sports. This is where the producer of the show and co-host, Ben Holson, who decided that this would be a really cute, fun, featured sort of a way of doing some radio. 4 questions to me because he knows that I'm a genius. Then he asks a half of a question, and all of this based on 4.5. 4:30, get it, everyone? That was his idea. That's how brilliant he is.
I'm the guy with the brains behind this program.
Hello? You're a pretty smart feller.
No,
I'll tell you that much. You are, buddy. I'll tell you what, you are a smart feller.
You're the looks.
Well,
you're the brawn.
I mean, come on, man. Of course I am. That's my thing. I think I am.
4.5 questions. You ready for this? I'm going to pitch them up to you. The Timberwolves, we just heard from Flip Saunders. The Timberwolves lost to the Phoenix Suns last night in the desert. Kevin Garnett didn't play, second game in a row. Flip Saunders said after the game that Garnett hasn't missed any practices, but he did today. After the game, Flip also alluded to the agreement between the team and Garnett before they traded him. He said, when we traded for Garnett and I talked to him, his number one thing was, quote, I know we're not going to the playoffs. I'll sit out games, but I'm not going to sit out practices because I can really have an influence in practice on the younger guys. The obvious reason for not playing KG is the fact that the team is completely different and much better when he's on the court. So reading between the lines, like we like to do. I mean, it's a sports talk radio station,
right,
for God's sakes.
That's
what we talk.
That's what we do.
Is Flip tanking in hopes of getting one of the two top picks? Doesn't want to win too many games. And I don't blame him if you think he is.
I mean, I think that there's a reason for putting him over on the bench. they don't want, they're playing pretty good basketball against pretty good teams and finding ways to actually win some good games. They beat the Blazers about 5-6 nights ago.
And they 40-21, by the way. They were 40-21 in one of the better teams in the Western Conference. The Blazers.
That's right. Absolutely. And I kind of think that they're finding themselves. They're understanding that there is something there. That Kevin brings a lot to the table. There's a lot of things happening in practice where things are getting done around here, but you can't push yourself out of that positioning where you don't get the guy you want. And of course, we know that the NBA drafting system is a kind of a shambles because it's based on a lottery, a damned lottery. That's how they operate. I can't believe they do that. It's the dumbest thing ever.
It's pretty janky.
You just give the number one pick to the worst team, just like the NFL. You have to even things out. Lottery. What a dumb way to do it. That's stupid.
Excuse me.
You do that again on this show one more time. Belching like that will get you nowhere in this life.
I apologize.
You can do it if you want. I was just kidding. What, do you have another question? Do you agree?
That's all the questions I have for today.
Well, that's disappointing because
I was
expounding the hell out of things.
Of course I agree. I'm the one that asked the question.
You asked the question. You don't have to agree.
No, you're right. I don't have to. but I definitely
What's wrong
do.
With you?
I definitely do agree because, like I said in the question, Kevin Garnett makes this team completely different. Even though he plays 20 minutes, that's it. That's all he does. 15 to 20 to 25, maybe sometimes 23 minutes. When he is out there, though, the team plays with so much more enthusiasm. They're running, they're jumping, they're diving, they're rebounding, they're playing defense, they're scoring when they should. When Kevin Garnett's not out there on the court, it's just that attitude that he adds to the Minnesota Timberwolves, that swagger that he gives them, not there.
But I like the fact that what he does in practice is pretty special, too.
No,
I mean, that's exactly where he's getting a lot of... He's making hay, as we say in Iowa.
And it's not like he's not at the game. He's at the games yelling like a coach.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, or for him to say, hell nah, when he didn't, you know, coaching. When Sid asked him about coaching, he'd make an amazing coach. And I thought...
He would, actually.
For once in the last 30 years, that was a good question by Sid Hartman.
But...
Hell no.
Yeah. H-E-L-L-N-A-H.
Hell
nah.
There we go.
But I guess if you weigh into owner, coach...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of course, Flip knows all three.
Mm-hmm. Question number two. Gopher men's basketball team beat Rutgers during the opening of the Big Ten tournament last night. Rutgers, putrid. Terrible. Worst team in the Big Ten.
Horrific.
Leading scorer Andre Hollins didn't score a single point last night. Mo Walker had 10 points, 10 boards. And, of course, what I heard and what I told you earlier from a very reputable source, that earlier this season, not exactly sure how recently this happened, but that the Gopher players turned their backs and shut out head coach Richard Pitino. How do you expect the Gophers to win anything when their senior leadership is junk and the team and the coach have a massive schism?
You can't expect anything if that's what is really going on. If people in the know are accurate with their information, if that's really taking place, or if it only took place, I guess I don't really know for sure anyway, if it was just one game or two, or then he stepped, put his foot down on him and changed a couple of the older guys out, some of the seniors, and put in the Nate Masons and the other younger guys and let them play for a while until the other guys decided they wanted to play his kind of basketball again. But if they're not, if that's been the way of the world over there for the last half of the season, then you can't expect too much to happen. You just cannot. You can graduate these four seniors and start again from scratch, and you have to have some buy-in. But you won't get anything out of this bunch, apparently.
What are the chances? They played Ohio State earlier this year. I want to say it was at the Barn, and they took them to overtime and lost by 2 points. They play them tonight. Tip-off is at 8. I think the official time is 7:55. That's on ESPN2, by the way. What are the chances they win tonight?
I think probably slim, very slim.
One of those
because
things
of
where
the
it's
way
probable?
Going, I think it's probably very slim. They'll give them a good game. Look. What makes these these guys who are supposedly turning their back on the coach?
It's that generation.
Think
man.
That they're okay. So we saw how their way worked, right?
Not very good. Not very well.
So your way is what we've been seeing over the last whatever half the let's just say half the season. Last year works really well. Yeah, we should keep up doing what you're doing.
And what a joke for these guys like Mo Walker and Andre Hollins. We talked to Cole Omaha, our writer, Sam Ekstrom, who said earlier, I want to say in his junior year or even his sophomore year, Andre Hollins was expected to be at some point a lottery pick in the NBA.
Right.
Mo Walker could play in the NBA if he had the heart. These guys just don't have what it takes to be winners. And they, I mean, when we talk about football players or baseball players or hockey players or basketball players, we want players. We don't want the guys that are all necessarily flashy or putting up the most points. We want guys that work their tails off in practice. We want Teddy Bridgewater's and Andre Wiggins.
You better
or Andrew Wiggins. Andy Wiggins is what
sure,
we call him.
Sure.
Ted Bridgewater, Andy Wiggins. We've given him our little pet names.
That's right.
Here.
And what do we call Rubio?
Rick.
Rick Rubio.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to toughen him up a little
Ricardo
bit, too.
Ricardo.
He can't come into the NBA and be Ricky Rubio. Come on. You're Rick Rubio.
Question three, we just talked to Twins great Al Newman from spring training in Florida. Yesterday, I called you the Aaron Hicks of radio, and I just want to apologize for that because that's not what you deserve and from your work partner. You deserve a good work situation.
Thank you.
No bullying.
Thank you.
And
Richie.
I hope you find it in your big, soft heart to forgive me. At some point.
I do. I'm willing to forgive and forget forever.
Okay.
Go on. I'm okay. You won't call me Aaron Hicks again, though,
no.
Right?
No, I will not. So the question number three, Aaron, is Joe Mauer.
Yeah. You son of a
Joe
bitch.
Joe Mauer played only 120 games last year and managed just 4 home runs, 55 RBIs in the first full season at first base.
Yep.
Is Joe Mauer the key to the Twins turning things around, or should they just kind of forget about him, his ups and downs while riding the pine, bilateral leg weakness, strained obliques, concussions, blah, blah, blah. Don't focus. I know he makes the most money, $23 million, but when we talk about the Twins, we talk about Joe Mauer, and the Twins will go as Joe Mauer goes. Well, that's not necessarily the case in this question, meaning should he not be a major concern while the team focuses on the players that are really trying, some of the pitchers, the younger guys, and guys that aren't necessarily a giant turd?
That's a good question. It absolutely is on the back of someone like Joe Mauer. It absolutely is. So if he doesn't want to talk, that's fine. Don't talk.